Blog Talk Radio.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian province.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, indeed, we are live in Technicolor. Good evening, everyone. Glad you could join me tonight. As the opening stated, with the upcoming U.S. presidential election, political propaganda is flooding the media with visions of political apocalypse unless one candidate or the other is elected. There are, however, political fodder which does require closer scrutiny, and tonight we shall try to do so. With less than 12 hours to go until the U.S. voting polls open to decide the next president of the United States, we shall open the phone lines for the full edition and have reserved expansion time if required with our repeaters throughout the world. If you wish to weigh in on the election, phone lines are open, and we do remind you, when we say open, we do mean open.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
With our weekly shout-outs to the Southeast Brickies' much better half, Beth. Glad you wised up. Pleased that you have made the decisions that you have and look forward to future meeting with you. To the BC Dreamcatcher, you're in my thoughts. Fantastic weather you're having. The Calgary Scottish last time keeps on ticking into the future. And a new listener from Calgary, Alberta, where art is created. Welcome aboard. So, Jeeves, do we have an email?
You've got email, Governor.
Dan from Oregon wrote, love the show. What's your take on the Libyan ambassador issue? Well, Dan, we shall cover some of that tonight and invite you to read the daily reports on bocrradio.com, especially the spy editions. And hopefully your Libyan question will be covered tonight in this edition. Diane from Vancouver emailed us, a few months ago you promised to do more on the BC pipeline issue, but we're still waiting. Well, Diane, with all due respect, your provincial government made it quite clear that there shall not be a pipeline until they get a bigger slice of the taxation pie. So we have reported each week on the oil pipeline issues, and we shall probably do so this week. And if you have any specific information or photos you wish to share with us, then please feel free to send them to our daily newsletter at vocr2012@gmail.com. Mike from Ohio emailed the show, VOCR, excellent job in your weekly reporting about the race to the presidency. I'm sending this on Saturday with 3 days to go. What do you think? Who do you think will win? Well, Mike, tonight we have dedicated the phone lines to open lines for call-ins. I hope we do hear from United States citizens who are planning to vote or who have voted. As for my personal opinion, I believe Mitt Romney has won the election in a Reagan-esque landslide. And if not, we will most certainly be disappointed. But life will go on, and the VOCR shall continue to ask the important questions and search for answers on many issues outstanding. Now, if Obama wins, stations such as ours shall be probably targeted a little heavier and suppressed in one way or another, and free speech shall be probably impeded, probably by the mainstream media and political factions. So, Mike, pray for Mitt Romney to win. Now, let's do one more. Let's do meeny, meeny, miny, mo. Sue from Florida. I joined your Facebook and your Twitter link. I read your news releases from bocrradio.com daily and now listen to your radio show. Where do you find the time? Well, thanks, Sue. Facebook and Twitter are managed as I'm on the go from my BlackBerry. The website has a number of contributors, so although the volume of information seems heavy at times, it is managed through several sources. But thanks for your input, and make sure you keep tweeting and Facebooking and, yes, listening. And, oh, by the way, the BOCR, there's a couple of people that put the BOCR together. They prefer to stay in the shadows as of now. I'm hoping sooner or later we'll get them to step forward and be recognized for the fabulous work they do. But until then, you're stuck with me. Now, I do remind you that we are the VOCR, and that does stand for the Voice of the Canadian Rockies. And we're great to be here.
Time for a break. We'll be right back.
You hope a change meant, you hope to change minds. Constitutional liberty. Get out. You got to get out.
Got an opinion? Want to make a statement? Phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Let me say this to every American who is thinking about who should be our next president. No one will work harder. No one will care more. And no one will move heaven and earth like Mitt Romney to make this country a better place to live.
We're a nation of immigrants. We're the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the ones who wanted a better life, the driven ones, the ones who woke up at night hearing that voice telling them that life in the place called America could be better. They came not just in pursuit of the riches of this world, but for the richness of this life. Freedom. Freedom of religion. Freedom to speak their mind. Freedom to build a life. And yes, freedom to build a business with their own hands.
Can reform our tax code in a way that is fair and responsible, which, by the way, means let's stop giving tax breaks to businesses that ship jobs and factories overseas. Let's reward companies that create jobs and manufacturing right here in the United States of America.
On air live, 347-324-3287.
Will work harder. No one will care more. And no one will move heaven and earth like Mitt Romney to make this country a better place to live.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight. And now, a weekly opinion.
In the morning, on Tuesday, November the 6th, 2012, the American voters shall decide who the next president shall be. The last few months have been very revealing as a Canadian and very enlightening as a human being. The hope and change President Barack Hussein Obama had promised has changed America and the American people. And the American people shall weigh in on how they see that change. And from our reports, the change is not what the majority of Americans want. It is, however, what Western enemies within and abroad have worked years towards. To cripple the peacekeepers of the world, to hobble the big dog, to remove the possibility of a mounting defense or protection for propped-up governments in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia are in panic mode. They know they are next. The Arab Spring is not over, and Sharia control of Saudi oil will cripple the West. Obama attempts to make peace with the enemy while professing his deep respect for the Muslim faith and bows to its magnificence while claiming to be a Christian. Muslim extremists who threaten and subvert freedom and equality. Those who murder Christians and spread hate from within the Western system. Those who exploit freedom and freedom of speech as a vehicle for their hate of their very institutions which provided them the voice. The ignorance of life's gift and the lack of love of children or family is evident in extremism. I read a story yesterday about a female child who died from an attack from her own family. The mother and father beat up the 15-year-old girl and then poured acid all over her because she was seen talking to a boy. The child later died. And the Pakistan government reluctantly arrested the parents and charged them with murder. Now, to the parents, they are honorable within their beliefs, and that they had right to do what they did. In the Middle East, women are a subculture. They are property, with less respect than the family camel. This is the enemy's weakness. Women need to be empowered. They need to be given the ability to refute the male-dominated society, shrouded in a man-made religion which claims to be divine wisdom. Remember, it is not just the Quran. It is the edicts and doctrines which many clerics and mullahs have claimed to have decoded from the original writings. These are man-made documents. They are compendiums, which were not handed down in complete form to Muhammad, but compiled from many sources, much like the Holy Bible. After all, Muhammad was illiterate. I listen in amazement on internet chat how Muslims hate Christians and Christians need to be destroyed, reminiscent of before the Christian Reformation. Maybe a reformation should be given to the Muslim faith. Maybe we should permit the Muslim faith to experience a second coming of Jesus Christ.
We'll be right back, right after this quick station break. Got an opinion? Want to make a statement? Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com. have an opinion? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. The phone lines are open. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Guru Nostra.
And as we hold our breath for the election results, figuratively, of course, there are a number of issues which are being subverted by mainstream media, such as Benghazi Gate. Now, this shall be the downfall of the Obama administration, even if he is re-elected. It is almost a given now that Ambassador Stevens, under orders from Obama, was brokering arms to rebels in Syria via Turkey, and that these forces were linked to Al-Qaeda. Many believe that Stevens was sacrificed by the Obama administration because the deal went south, and their fast and furious Libya had been detected by conservative media. Four people died that night, including the ambassador, and the timelines indicate that while the firefight was underway, it was being watched in real time in the Situation Room by the president's compliments of a well-positioned drone, and the feed was being viewed elsewhere in the government. No order to save those four men were issued. Over 6 hours, and the president did not authorize military assistance, he sacrificed them to protect a political future. Mainstream media, of course, being the propaganda arm of the Obama administration, has subverted the stories and denied the reporting, and mainstream media have backed a losing horse. And the American voters will remember after the elections, and I suggest mainstream media to watch your ratings well. Social media worked well for Obama in the last election, mainly because the Bush camp didn't get it. The Bush camp did not see social media as being a powerful and dynamic as it was, and certainly not as it is now. Fact-checking is available on all statements on numbers, and reporting is almost instantaneous. So no longer can a politician tell a big fat lie or an untruth, or drop a political suicide pill. Audio reports, YouTube videos are almost instantaneous. This is what happened to the Obama-Romney debates. Obama was outed by social media as a liar, a vicious little man with a complex, as big as his new estate in Hawaii. Speaking of which, he's scheduled to take possession in March 2013. The government have agreed to lease the estate until that time, while equipping the property with security measures befitting a former president, including a security/communication bunker. The Obama camp seemed to have forgotten that social media information and links provides a window on the world, which old media cannot compete with. Hard print newspapers are failing, physical libraries are becoming redundant, and slowly will be fully uploaded to a website portal for education and will be assimilated. Facebook was created by college students looking to hook up and meet others in the college university culture. It was most certainly never considered to be what it has become. Unfortunately, it is also its own worst enemy. The possibility of flood messaging and subversion of information creates a weak link in quality control. On the internet chat rooms, even the agent provocateurs who were gathered to beat the drum for Obama have now been subdued, and an eerie smell of pre-war lingers in the air. When Romney is declared president, hopefully by proclamation, and by concession speech from Obama, which would create a landslide victory, hopefully Wednesday morning, or a close fight to the finish, which may result in several recounts, and then probably not until the close of business on Friday, or possibly the following Monday. But in eventuality, I believe Romney will win. Obama became what he hated the most. He succumbed to politics. He bit off way more than he could chew as a community organizer, whether because of the financial collapse as he took office or by the inept policies, Obama has failed to be what the President of the United States is expected to be. The Obama team have become the old political dog who uses old techniques, old methods of attack and deride, and little on the future of plans. Nothing solid but promises. Everything Obama cries about when speaking of Romney, Obama is doing, and he doesn't even realize it. Prime example is the Obama candidacy led by Axelrod. Axelrod believes in the down-and-dirty campaign. He thrives in the muck of politics like a Democrat pig wallowing in the mud. But his campaign style is old formula. It is Bush-era political plans and fails to utilize social media. Thank God for Facebook pages such as 1 Million to Defeat Obama and Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, 2012, and, of course, the VOCR, 2012. Remember that freedom of speech is never truly free. And that is probably one of the most frustrating things you have to remember when listening to any politician promise you anything.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question unless Hawaii verifies he was born there.
The Rockets went by when we took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets.
On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead and move it up.
Now,
We
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Phone lines are now open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com for more information. We'll be right back with more of Open Lines.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. Here at the VOCR, we do appreciate viewers and readers' email. We hope if you have something you wish to say, statement you wish to make, an opinion you wish to render, then you send the email to VOCR2012@gmail.com and we'll get it on the blog.
This is VOCR Radio and I'm Guru Nostrum.
On air live, 347-324-3287.
In the dead of night, when all is dark and all your daytime worries engulf you, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the greater world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hollows of the castle walls. In the dead of night, when all is still, who will you be tonight? Returning for yet another season, Night Talk Radio, Alpha Waves to Zulu Time. Night Talk takes you into the paranormal, extraterrestrial, murky waters of investigations. Join Colin Knight weekly on Night Talk Radio. Check it out, nighttalkradio.com. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
Got something
something on your mind? Need to get something off your chest? Interested in a debate?
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
You know, Romney first impressed me in 2004, but especially in 2008. I was slightly disappointed that he didn't go further in 2008, but by all indications, 2012 is Romney's year. His positive announcements about the XL pipeline and renewables and his commitment to use all resources in an environmental friendly way. He has stated that by executive order he will dismantle the EPA, and he intends to rip apart the tax code and trade. Now, Romney is a breath of fresh air that a suffocating economy required, a very successful businessman who truly loves his country, its flag, and God. So, what's your opinion? What do you think about Mitt Romney? What do you think about Barack Hussein Obama? Phone lines are open.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
A number of VOCR listeners to the virtual studio chat room, which is accessible from the Blog Talk Radio site. Just go to blogtalkradio.com and find the TerraChatNet show page. And there you can access the virtual studio and come down and talk one-on-one, mono-o-mono, with yours truly.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
To Valerie Jarrett on CNN, she stated that even if it shows that they lost by a landslide, they intend to dispute it, claiming that the polls are rigged by Republicans and they can prove it. All this while automatic voting machines are switching votes from Romney to Obama right in front of the Romney voters' eyes. And reports that George Soros actually owns the very system being used to tabulate votes, which are basically done, by the way, out of country. Can you believe that? President Obama and hopefully incumbent Romney, are pushing from state to state like plate spinners at an old variety show. Remember those guys? Obama claiming he is woman-friendly and works for equality, while being outed on social media, which are reporting that in 1999 legislative votes, then Illinois State Senator Barack Obama was the sole state senator to not vote for a bill that would protect sexual assault victims from having the details of their cases revealed publicly. On May the 11th of that year, Obama voted present on a bill, ultimately made law, that allows victims of sex crimes to request that their cases be sealed from the public view following a criminal conviction. Illinois Senate voting records show that Obama was the only senator who did not vote in favor of the bill. Obama's unique objection to voting for a bill meant to protect a victim's sex crimes is a substantial departure from the picture he attempted to paint for women voters. The story we broke last week about the lavish parties thrown at the White House has grown legs, as they say. In 2010, if you remember, Obama threw a $1 million dinner for the president of Mexico. Other less expensive dinners for Chinese leader Hu Jintao, the owner of Obama's debt, and UK Prime Minister Cameron and India's Prime Minister were all around about the $500,000 mark. Were these normal expenditures? Not even close, according to the man who ran presidential operations for the White House for 21 years, from Reagan until Bush. Gary Walters, 21 years of experience running the White House household, including party planning and expenses. Democratic and Republican administrations, retiring in 2007. He said it is outlandish, and we agree. The highest cost event we could have Gary remember was about $190,000, maybe $200,000 range. That was for a very large dinner outside that was probably somewhere in the vicinity of 500 people with two different tents, noting that the event was held under President Clinton. Americans can eat spam while Michelle and Barry can use taxpayer money to throw lavish parties for their friends in the name of diplomacy, so that all the privileged champions of the oppressed can now chow down on prime fare. Now, a chunk of this money is going to event planner Brian Raffinelli, who did Chelsea Clinton and Huma Abedin's wedding, not to each other, of course. Now, interestingly enough, Raffinelli is the business partner slash boyfriend of Mark Walsh, who these days is the deputy chief of the State Department's Office of Protocol. Now, get this. Walsh processes state dinner expenses planned by Raffinelli as an outside contractor. Now, who says that Barack Hussein Obama doesn't make jobs?
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. We'll be right back with more of Open Minds.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God, go I. There is a modern saying that many citizens are two paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, don't forget those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God, go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification.
Yeah. Obama seems to have abandoned New York. People are cold, hurt, and starving, and Obama flies from party to party. A news report sent to us today caused a great deal of alarm regarding Israel. But before we leave New York, I just want to say that we have a number of listeners on the East Coast. We're hoping you are all tuned in and you are well and everything is fine. But if you know somebody that isn't, ladies and gentlemen, hold out your hand, give a help. Help these people get their lives back together. And we will be there as much as we can, if not in body, then most certainly in spirit. And we champion your future, because nobody should be left behind on these horrible storms. And the President of the United States needs to stand up and grow a pair and deal with the problems at hand instead of his concern of whether he's going to be reelected or not. Because tomorrow, Tuesday, November the 6th, 2012, the United States will rise again, and happy days will be here again. Now, a news report sent to us today caused me a great deal of alarm. Israel warplanes flying over the Golan as Hezbollah fighters pour into Syria. Israeli warplanes flew over the divided Golan on Sunday, November the 4th, in a show of strength as a deterrent against the Syrian civil war seeping across the border. Now, Debka File, military and Western intelligence sources report, in Paris, President Francois Hollande vowed Sunday that France would oppose with all its strength any bid to destabilize Lebanon. And he said that Lebanon must be protected. He spoke regardless of the 5,000 Lebanese Shiite Hezbollah fighters who are poured into Syria from the Bekaa Valley stronghold of Al-Harmel to fight Bashar Assad's war. Our sources reveal that these Lebanese fighters have now advanced 50 to 60 kilometers deep into southwestern Syria, up to the outskirts of the embattled town of Homs. On the Golan, further to the east, Israel's Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Benny Gantz, visited the IDF contingent, stationed there to reinforce the message broadcast by the IAF. Hezbollah is now openly flaunting the presence of its regular troops in Syria. They are armed with heavy artillery and Chinese WS-1 multi-launch rocket systems, which are made in Iran. These Katusha-style shoot 302-millimeter rockets at targets up to 100 kilometers away and can operate in a rugged mountain terrain of Lebanon, Syria, and Israel, and in harsh weather conditions, including snow. Hezbollah fighters are reported by our sources to have already used this weapon with deadly effect in a battle with Syrian rebels over the town of Qasir, opposite the Lebanese Bekaa Valley. It ended in Hezbollah capturing the town, and their coordination seems to be pretty tight. Hezbollah forces on the ground get in touch with Iran command headquarters in Beirut and Damascus to call for Syrian helicopters for air cover. The Hezbollah command in Syria is Ibrahim Akil, a veteran of the Hezbollah military, and one of the most trusted by Hassan Nasrallah in Tehran. Akil took part in the 83 assault on U.S. Marine Beirut headquarters, in which 241 American troops were killed, the highest death toll in a single event after World War II. In the year 2000, Akil, then commander of the Southern Lebanese Front against Israel, orchestrated the kidnap from Israeli territory and murder of three Israeli soldiers, Benny Avraham, Adi Avitan, and Omar Saad. The Middle East is about to pop like a zit, and we are not in a position to be able to assist those very people that counted on us when this time would come.
Now, one side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt?
The answer, yes, I'm telling you.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Good afternoon. I have enjoyed a full day of meetings with leaders of the government here in Great Britain. I've spoken with members of the government as well as the opposition. We've spoken about matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, economic outlook, and developments here in the UK and across Europe and across the world. I found the discussions to be enlightening and instructive, and have enjoyed the personal opportunity to come to know a number of the members of the leadership here in Great Britain.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
This is Voice of the Canadian Rockies on blogtalkradio.com.
On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Without parental discretion. A photo showing on Facebook recently depicting President Obama walking to an aeroplane with a book in his hand. Now, the super sleuths of the internet have managed to find the book that he had in his hand, and it is called Post-American World, and apparently it is written by a Muslim. Now, I think the information which we know, the events which have happened, the denial of secret talks with the enemy, and the tactical move which appear very submissive, the idea that Obama will slash the military is frightening. In today's age, if there were not enemies of the West, I could understand it. But the world is more dangerous today than it was in 4 years ago. The Western world has gone through an epic change since the Second World War. You know, on November the 5th, for instance, in 1945, Ensign Jake C. West became the first jet landing on board an aircraft carrier. And look at us today. Unmanned drones proliferation. Even the enemy now has our technology, thanks to a lost U.S. drone in Iran, which Obama refused to authorize recovery of. Remote-controlled planes with payloads, non-human risk, although at a cost of millions of dollars each, and the support system requirements which will still require human remote pilots for now. The enemy are at the gates, and the Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America is asleep at the switch. He is more concerned with the re-election and the realities of what is happening around the world. The Western world is in trouble. It needs a leader. The world needs its peacekeeper back.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. We'll be right back with more of Open Minds.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God, go I. There is a modern saying that many citizens are 2 paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, don't forget those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God, go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on Aerojet Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification.
And listen to a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea.
Ah, good old Texas tea. Well, Canada has extended its review deadline for the CNUC-Nexen deal. Now they have till December the 10th. Story out of Reuters, Canada said it has extended its review of the $15.1 billion bid by China's CNOOC Limited for Canada energy producer Nexen Incorporated by a month to December the 10th. Ottawa is conducting the review to determine whether a takeover by the Chinese state-owned enterprise would bring a net benefit to Canada. Now, CNOOC launched China's richest foreign takeover bid in July when it agreed to buy Nexen, whose global portfolios include oil sands and shale gas. The review period for CNOOC Limited's proposed acquisition of Nexen Incorporated under the Investment Canada Act has been extended to December the 10th. The extension will give Canada more time to articulate broad guidelines on foreign takeovers of Canadian companies. The government wants to issue the framework at the same time it makes its ruling on the CNOOC proposal. Under Canadian law, all major foreign takeover proposals are subject to approval of the federal government, which must certify that the deal benefits the country. Canada blocked Malaysian state oil firm Petronas for the $5.17 billion bid for gas producer Progress Energy Resources in mid-October, I think October 20th actually, rather than completely ruling the acquisition out. Paradis offered Petronas 30 days to make a new presentation to the government. The industry minister initially had issued a 2-week extension before declaring that the transactions would not benefit Canada, raising doubts over CNOOC's bid for Nexen, but offering the additional 30 days. The proposed acquisition of Nexen has raised concerns with Canada about allowing a Chinese state-owned enterprise to control domestic resource assets. Canada would prefer the XL pipeline access and the stagnant discussions with BC over the possible Western pipeline has almost forced the hand of the oil industry to look east to Montreal as a pipeline hub. Now, recent tests were done on an existing pipeline which runs from Alberta to Montreal, which previously transferred natural gas, and is being pressure tested for the possibility of transferring bitumen oil. The one major concern is the stability of the Quebec government and the threat of a new referendum on the separation from Canada Confederation, which could place the oil hub on foreign soil and could be a political wedge during referendum talks, which are expected within the next couple of years. The saving grace, of course, is Romney taking the presidency and authorizing the XL pipeline. This would instantly create over 50,000 jobs and would infuse billions of dollars into sagging economies of Midwest and central towns. This would be an injection without the government having to personally inject Dallaro.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
To the eve of probably the most important vote in history, almost as important as many of the votes during the Roman conquest of Europe. The United States of America is at a crossroads and a decision must be made. If the founding fathers are to be believed, if the founders are to be respected, and if the Declaration of Independence and the American Constitution are to be documents to be reckoned with, then the United States will continue to exist. However, if, as some politicians would like to see, those documents are cast to one side, then I would say we have trouble in Rivers.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Being out of Beirut tonight, an Islamist suicide car bomber killed at least 50 Syrian security men in Hama in the province Monday, according to an opposition group. It would be one of the bloodiest single attacks of President Bashar Assad's forces in about 20 months of the uprising. Another day of relentless violence in Syria coincided with more unity talks in Qatar among opposition factions. Syrian state media reported that a terrorist suicide bomber had targeted a rural development center in Sayhi al-Gahab in Hama province, putting the death toll at 2. The head of the Syrian Observatory of Human Rights said the center was used by security forces and pro-Assad militia as one of their biggest bases in the area. A fighter from the Nusra Front drove his car to the center and then blew himself up. He said a series of explosions followed and at least 50 were killed. No, I mean, really? Really? That's what life has come to. That's where we're at. Now, Syrian officials often blame foreign-backed Islamist militants for the anti-Assad revolt. It has killed 32,000 people since it began March 2011. Now, something even more terrifying coming out of Libya. An anti-Al-Qaeda Libyans reveal Obama administration helped Al-Qaeda in Benghazi. Apparently, Walid Shobat, a former Muslim Brotherhood member, now peace activist, broke news Saturday night that anti-Al-Qaeda Libyans living in exile are in possession of highly classified documents that reveal Obama and his administration involvement with the Al-Qaeda in Libya, more than what has been previously known. The anti-Al-Qaeda Libyans told Shabbat in reference to Obama's statement that Al-Qaeda had been destroyed, that Obama had gift-wrapped Libya, handed it over to Al-Qaeda, and they can prove it. The group plans to turn over the countless documents and intelligence to the National Center for Intelligence and Counterterrorism. The group informed Shabbat that what they have will bring down the Obama administration and that they are not kidding. In fact, they provided Shabbat the first installments of the documents that Shabbat reported on October 31st, 2012. They said that the rest will be provided when Mitt Romney is in office, and they further said, "His election is our only hope for humanity." Now, these documents include evidence of a highly sophisticated weaponry provided to jihadists, which leads them to doubt that any solution will take place under what they call the Obama regime, according to the group. They have come into possession of an array of records obtained from top-level sources inside the Libyan government, and anti-Al-Qaeda Libyans said they include passports of Al-Qaeda operatives, identifications of terrorists from many nations, Chad, Egypt, and Pakistan, to name a few, which are now all camped in Libya as they enter by crossing borders guarded and managed officially by what they called government-appointed Al-Qaeda leaders. Shabbat stated, "This explains why the drafts of two letters on September the 11th expressing worry that the U.S. consulate in Benghazi was under troubling surveillance and that Libyan government failed to fulfill requests for additional security." The Libyan group told Shabbat it wasn't failure, but the Libyan government's mafia-like system subordinate to Al-Qaeda and installed with the blessing of the Obama administration that is responsible for the deaths of Americans in Benghazi. If these statements are true, then the news report that was conveyed on October the 25th, 2012, stating that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had ordered more security at the U.S. mission in Benghazi before it was attacked, and Obama denied the request that the anti-Al-Qaeda Libyans seemed to have confirmed such allegations against Obama and his administration along with the Libyan government. Shobat's information also collaborates with statements from former CIA officer Claire Lopez when she said, "This has to be made known to the public that this is going on and that our administration was not only working with the bad guys, was working with Al-Qaeda-linked militias and jihadists to overthrow Assad in Syria, but that they let the mission go down." Now, just 2 days ago, dozens of retired military officers and veterans with the Special Operations Speaks, SOS PAC, are also demanding an independent inquiry into Barack Obama's administration and its actions in Benghazi, Libya, that may constitute high crimes and misdemeanors, regardless of the outcome of tomorrow's presidential election. Now, this is heavy stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Tuesday, November the 6th, 2012. Could be a defining moment in time when a nation redirects their course. A time when consideration is given to the fiscal well-being and safety of a nation for those who have already taken the time to exercise their democratic right to vote. We thank you. To those who plan on doing it tomorrow, please make it a priority. This is a very important election, and your sanity is needed. As Mitt Romney said, vote for your love of your country, not the party. Who can lead the United States of America to prosperity and strength again? You must always vote your country first. No matter what else comes by, no matter what else you do, you must always take your country first. Now, we are going to end the show at the top of the hour in the next couple of minutes, but I just wanted to say that tomorrow is a very important day. Come on, people. Don't screw it up. It's a chance to take a new direction. A chance to allow a businessman to make the business deal. Because the business deal is what's going to put America back on its feet. Vote your country tomorrow.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared now. Then I heard a loud voice call from the throne. "You see this city? Here God lives among men. He will make his home among them. His name is God with them. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death and no more mourning or sadness. The world of the past has gone."
www.terrorchatnet.com.